Alex is playing the air marimba. This is a traditional Guatemalan marimba song called La Flor del Café, the coffee flower.
And why are we talking about coffee?
Well, this week, NPR's Morning Edition is doing a series about coffee, the culture of coffee, the science of coffee, and the economics of coffee. And since coffee is such a big part of Latin culture, we decided to do something similar. Do you remember your first cup of coffee?
Not exactly the first, but I do remember when I was a kid, I would go in and my mother would leave her cup of coffee, which had cream and a lot of sugar in it, actually. And I'm sure she was just looking the other way on purpose when I would walk in and try to take a sneak sip. And I always enjoy that, as opposed to my dad's coffee, which was black, which I couldn't figure out how he drank. But of course, now, as an older adult, I do drink my coffee black.
I feel like there's a lot said about, your first cup of wine, your first love experience, but your first cup of coffee really means something. I remember I really wanted to have coffee when I was a kid because I'd see my parents do it and I wanted to be a grown-up. So when I was in the third grade, my mom let me drink una lagrima, which is, it means a teardrop. And it's a teardrop of coffee in a hot cup of milk. And that's when I started drinking coffee. I think I ran to the bathroom immediately after. wasn't feeling very well. And, then I went over to my third grade buddies and I was like, yeah, just had a cup of coffee, man. Who wants to trade some stickers?
Coffee, coffee, coffee. That's what we're talking about here in Alt Latino. And it's never just about coffee, because the politics of entire nations have been defined by coffee and the economics of café con leche.
Heartbreak has been stewed in coffee. Race has been discussed through it. Sex.
So, so pour yourself a hot cup of coffee and take a seat. This is Alt Latino. We're talking about coffee today.
We are, and you can't really talk about coffee in Latin music without immediately bringing up the song Ojalá que llueva, Café. That's by Juan Luis Guerra, and it's really, I think, one of the most iconic songs about coffee. So why don't we listen to that, and let's talk a little bit about what that song means afterwards.
Cerro de trigo y mapoe, baja por la colina de arroz graneado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Oh, 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 oh. Ojalá el otoño en vez de hojas secas vista mi cosecha epitizale, sembra una llanura de batata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café, pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto hay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo,
pa' que en Villa Vázquez oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva hay hombre.
Ojalá que llueva.
Que llueva café. Ojalá que llueva café en el campo, sembrar un alto cerro de trigo y mapuey.
baja por la colina de arroz trañado y continúa el arado con tu querer. Oh, 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 oh. Ojalá el otoño en vez de hojas secas vista mi cosecha y pipizale. Sembra una llanura de batata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café. Pa' que en el conuco no se sufra tanto.
Oh. Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Pa' que en los montones oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café. Pa' que todos los niños canten en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Pa' que las romanas oigan este canto.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ay, ojalá que llueva, ojalá que llueva, hombre.
Ojalá que llueva café en el campo.
Ojalá que llueva café.
The title means I hope it rains coffee, or may it rain coffee, and it's from the album of the same name, right? Ojalá que llueva.
I believe so.
And you know this, so a lot of people have said that this is an album that pushed Juan Luis Guerra to the status that he has as a musician. You know, not only did he come out into his own as a musician, but also as a writer. I mean, he's a fantastic lyricist, and it really pushed merengue and bachata to another level, to like the worldwide stage. This came out in 1989, and there's a lot of merengue and bachata lovers who will say, well, what about Anthony Santos? And I mean, yes, but really this is an album that got airplay in countries like my own, like in Argentina, where we hadn't heard of bachata before this album. And we didn't really listen to merengue. Critics say this album did to Latin music what Fania did. Like that Latin music hadn't been hit by something as hard and good since Fania.
Huh.
What do you think of that?
I think that among Latin music fans, like Juan Luis Guerra and merengue in particular, they have a certain cachet. There's a certain, people recognize that. But outside, I think it's because of the way the rhythm goes. I think in the general population, the general public, people, mainstream public that aren't familiar with merengue or Latin music, I don't think it has the same recognition. I think people have more of an awareness of salsa than they do of merengue and Juan Luis Guerra, which is a shame because he's such a pillar. He's such an icon. He's such a pioneer in the music. And he has equal status of people like Ruben Blades or Willie Colon or anybody like that.
Yeah, and this song is brilliant. And what I love about that, his album, is that not only is it musically just, it's a party, it's also a really political album. I mean, it has a lot of political content. And, you know, this song, what he's saying is, I hope that it rains coffee in the fields, that we get a shower of yuca, the vegetable, and tea, and that from the sky, a rain of white cheese fall, you know, so that people don't suffer so much. And the context for that, let's just give a little context. The 80s was a really rough time for the Dominican Republic. I mean, 4/5 of their export of their economy was sugar, and all of a sudden world sugar prices went down. The U.S. consumption of sugar, of cane sugar, went down, and there was reduced import quotas. So you had the sugar crisis. And it was really a time of debt crisis in all of Latin America. You know, the IMF was doing structural adjustment austerity programs. And the result was that the DR suffered a lot economically and socially. So by the mid-80s, the Dominican Republic became one of the poorest countries in the Americas. And there were massive price increases for basic food goods that just did not... they were inaccessible. Food was not accessible for many Dominicans. And that's what Juan Luis Guerra is talking about in this song. He's saying, I hope it rains coffee and food so that people can stop suffering. Let's move on to Brazil. This next song has two titles, A Falência do Café or A Luta contra a Lata, the fight against the can.
O exército de latas mil do inimigo tomou de assalto as prateleiras e os balcões em nome das plebeias chaminés plantadas em nossos quintais. Palavras proferidas por velho dono de terras roxas de uma vasta região em nome das granfinas tradições plantadas em seu coração. Chaminés plantadas nos quintais do mundo. As latas tomam conta dos balcões. Navios de café calafetados já não passeiam portos por aí. Rasgados velhos sacos de aninhagem, a granfinagem limpa seus brasões. Protege com seus sacos de aninhagem velha linhagem de quatrocentões. Os sacos de aninhagem já não dão. A queima das fazendas também não. As latas tomam conta do balcão. Vivemos dias de rebelião. Café queimado, enlate o seu café solúvel, enlate o seu café só site, enlate os restos do barão. A lata luta com mais forças, adeus elite do café. Enlate o seu café solúvel, ha, ha, ha. Enquanto dá pé, enquanto dá pé, enquanto dá pé.
Você também põe drogas no seu café?
They had a lot of fun making that record.
You know, it's such a goofy song, and it's so, you know, like Muppets Rock Band.
Yeah, right.
But that it hides to the non-Portuguese speaker, it hides the fact that it is such a politically charged song.
Can you tell us about the lyrics?
Yes. So basically what he's doing is he's ridiculing the Sao Paulo coffee aristocracy. Let me tell you about how important coffee is to Brazil. It's by far the world's largest producer. And in fact, you know, in up until the 1930s, Brazilian politics had a name, and it was Política do Café com Leite.
Wow.
So the politics of coffee with milk, because you had Sao Paulo, which was the coffee producer, and Minas Gerais, the state of Minas Gerais, which was the milk producer. And they were so influential that they would really, the oligarchy, the landowners in these two sectors, they would influence the elections. They would decide who was the president and therefore what the policies were. A política do café com leite. And so what Gilberto Gil is doing here is he is ridiculing the coffee landowning aristocracy in Sao Paulo and the coffee barons. In particular, he's poking fun at the appearance of instant coffee cans, you know, which is just why, you know, it's kind of like, it's like eating McDonald's in Argentina, a meat producing country. Why?
Right.
You have the best coffee. So what he's saying, he starts off with a really interesting wordplay. He says, alô, mulatas, latas, latas. Hello, mulatas, and latas, which is cans.
cans in Spanish and in Portuguese.
Yeah. And so what he says is words preferred by an old owner of red lands in a vast region in the name of planted traditions, traditions planted in your heart. Coffee, coffee, coffee. Stick your burnt coffee in a can. Take your soluble coffee, put it in a can. Take your socialite coffee, put it in a can. Take the rests of your baran, put it in a can.
Coffee and politics and economics go way back, and it was always a symbol of power. Because if you're controlling the means of production, then you're controlling the economic flow. So politics and coffee and money go back almost to the beginning. Besides just being a nice cup of joe, right?
There's a lot behind it. And a lot of times when we talk about café con leche or coffee, it's a very, very thinly veiled or not even disguised at all metaphor for race in Latin America. The next song I brought in is called Café con Leche or Coffee and Milk by New Yorican musician Rey Barreto. And so just listen in for the times in which he says café con leche, because what he's referring to is his lover's skin color and acceptance.
Thank you.
This is all an ode to his woman and how much he loves her skin, you know?
Her skin color.
Yes. One of the things that he says to her that's my favorite line is, si te llevo a Francia, gritarán café au lait. If I take you to France, they'll yell café au lait.
It was, that's classic salsa. That's the kind of salsa I like, because you can never go wrong with Ray Barreto and from that era.
You've traveled the world a lot.
I've traveled a little bit.
Where's the best cup of coffee you've ever had?
And with you in Colombia, 2 years ago.
Was it because I was there?
Pretty much. You weren't on any of my other trips. No, I enjoyed that coffee in Colombia. It was very, very, it wasn't too strong. It was just right. But, you know, then I also enjoy, you know, the Armenians drink something called Turkish coffee. And it's very, very thick. And it's very, very strong. And you have it after you have these big meals with shish kebab and pilaf and all that stuff. And you have a nice, it's like a little shot, like a little shot glass. Okay, now what was your favorite cup of coffee?
Definitely Venezuela. Great coffee. Superior coffee. Best coffee I've tried. I love Café de Olla, the Mexican coffee. Is that right, Café de Olla?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I love the cinnamon that's in it. And it's, I just really like that coffee. And I think Cuban coffee, I've only had it in Miami, but I don't know, the way they prepare it, you know, the milk, the sugar, it's really good. And the next song I brought is, in fact, from Cuba, and it's kind of about coffee, but again, also about race. This is Ay, Mama Inés, de Bola de Nieve.
And before we get into the song, Bola de Nieve, by the way, means snowball, and there is no snow in Cuba. Obviously, and what that name was used as a kind of an insult to darker-skinned Afro-Cuban people whose descendants were slaves.
Like a sarcastic comment.
Very sarcastic and mean in a lot of ways. But what he did was he reappropriated that name because it was used in a concert advertisement once, and he reappropriated it and made it his name.
With some humor.
With some humor, and he became well-known. And he is well known as one of Cuba's most famous singer-songwriters, Bola de Nieve, and I'm so happy you brought in this song.
Aquí estamos todos los negros que venimos a rogar que no concedan permiso para cantar y bailar. Ay, ay, mamá Iné, ay, mamá Iné. Todos los negros tomamos café. Ay, mamá Inés, ay, mamá Inés. Todos los negros tomamos café. Pero Belén, 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 ¿a dónde anda tu metía? Que entonces Jesús María, yo te buscas y no te encontrás. Ay, digo, si yo estaba en casa de madrina, que ayer me mandó a buscar. Que en el sol de la esquina, que ella vive de manga. Ay, ay, mamá Inés, ay, mamá Inés. Todos los negros tomamos café. Ay, mamá Inés, ay, mamá Inés. Todos los negros tomamos café.
So again, a very joyous, cheerful song that actually has a lot to say about race and politics in Cuba. I'm always fascinated by these historic characters that kind of somehow seep through the threads of history. I mean, Bola de Nieve was a gay black Cuban in the 1930s. And he was a very beloved figure. And, you know, I think his fame and his musical talent allowed him to get away with a lot that was just not acceptable in that society back in the 30s. And what he's saying, you know, the lyrics, even though he's singing it in a very cheerful way, there's a sting to it. You know, he's singing, "Here we are, all of us black folks. We've come to beg. Give us permission to sing and dance. I'm a maine, I'm a maines. All black people drink coffee." Now, do you know who Mama Ines was?
No, I don't.
Mama Ines is an archetype, you know, an archetypical character in Cuban culture, which is not unlike the character in U.S. culture of the mammy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a character that it has a lot of interpretations, and it's appeared in literary novels. The gist of the character is that she is a slave, a Congolese slave, born in Africa, brought to Cuba, and she always is featured with a Cuban cigar in one hand, and she's dancing, and she stops to puff the cigar, and she also stops to drink her freshly brewed Cuban coffee. And she lives with her daughter Belen in this humble old neighborhood. He's referring to this character that is inescapable and ubiquitous culturally, but that is also a very painful character because it's a caricature of slavery and of race relations in the Caribbean.
And it's part of the history, just like the mammy character is here in this country. It's fascinating how that element of racism is prevalent. No matter where they are, no matter where the African diaspora ended up, like there was always some kind of symbol that people were used to put another population down. I wanted to go back to history just for a little bit because I found in doing research, I have this book. It's called Cuba and Its Music, From the First Drums to the Mambo. It's by Ned Sublette.
Oh,
who's,
cool.
Who's a music producer, writer,
We've
musician.
Been wanting to get him on the show.
And he wrote this very good book. A very thorough book on the history of Cuban music. But in talking about the Haitian influence in eastern Cuba, he quoted a very descriptive passage from some other writing about what coffee plantations were like in the era of slavery. I'm going to read it. There's just a short little paragraph. "The very structure of the coffee plantation implied elegance. Coffee required shade to grow, so coffee plantations were covered with trees, the exact opposite of sugar, which required denuded land and maximum sun. Richard Henry Dana Jr. described it in this quote from 1859. The coffee plantation was therefore laid out like a garden, with avenues and footpaths, all under the shade of the finest trees, and the spaces between the avenues were groves of fruit trees and shade trees, under which grew, trimmed down to the height of 5 or 6 feet, the coffee plant." So it was a mixture of things, and it sounds like a very, very picturesque environment, but it was worked by slaves.
Yeah.
So very, very deep, very complex culture, very complex history.
Felix, you know what I like my coffee with?
What?
Azuquita.
A little bit of sugar.
A little bit. Well, I like my sugar with coffee.
Who is this we're listening to?
This is El Gran Combo. Oh. And this is Sugar for Your Coffee, Azuquita para el Café.
Inspirado el creador cuando hizo la mujer, ay, qué bueno que le encargó que se dejara querer y trajo al mundo esa miel. Ese debe ser su nombre y le regaló a los hombres azuquita para el café.
The lyrics are, what can I say about these lyrics? They're, how inspired the creator when he made womankind. Oh, how good that he ordered women to let themselves be loved and he gave men sugar to put in the coffee. A thinly veiled.
Thinly, it's not even thinly veiled.
You don't get that. I mean, I don't know.
There is a certain elegance to the way that it's written and the way it's presented and the way it's performed compared to, think about it, think how elegant and how fun this is compared to, I'm going to pick on music, compared to some of the stuff we're hearing in contemporary music today where it's just so blatant. There's no finesse. There's no art to any of the idea of feeling sexy. This, I think, is a classic example of how songwriting can we know what they're talking about, but just like in schools, like, I don't know what you're talking about. El Gran Combo, by the way, is also known as El Gran Combo de Puerto Rico. And they are a Puerto Rican institution, and they've been around for a very, very long time. And still performing, still doing a lot of great music.
So, do you want to say you liked Café, you like Café de Olla? Here's something for you.
Do I like Café what?
No, I like Café de Olla. You don't like Café de Olla?
You mean with the cinnamon stick in it? I used to make it like that.
When? You've never made it for me.
You're not in my house to have coffee. I don't make coffee like that anymore because it's too sweet, believe it or not. I like it stronger and black now.
Anyway.
Café de Olla from Mexico. We're going to transition to...
This is a newer song. It's by a group called Radio Jarocho, and it is just one of my favorite songs in general, but it's a great song about coffee. But it's not really about coffee.
Let's hear it.
This is Café Café.
Vale, mujer, café, con pura pena,
café, café.
Bueno, pa' moler el metate.
Me da lo que me gusta endulzado con panela.
Me da lo que me gusta endulzado con panela.
Con su buen piquete, su rajita de canela.
Con su buen piquete, su rajita de canela.
That was an example of this great movement that I'm so fond of, these young Chicano bands in California performing jarocho, the very rhythmic music from Veracruz. And it's approximating the sound of the harps, the traditional Veracruz harps. And it's a very, very quick, our engineer Surreal Muhammad and I were just trying to figure out the meter of the song, and it's a very quick 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3. And it's based, it's polyrhythmic, so it's because it's based on African music.
And isn't one of the most famous jarochos La Bamba?
La Bamba from state of Veracruz, yeah, absolutely.
And there's something very limericky to them. You know, there's something kind of naughty, travieso, travieso. Mischievous. Mischievous.
This is what my grandmother used to call me, travieso. No moving comment. On, moving on.
But the lyrics say, beloved Marcelina, you wake me up in the morning, right when the sun comes out, and you slip into my bed. You give me what I like, sweetened with a little bit of unrefined sugar, with a shot of alcohol and a little bit of cinnamon, café, café. And then he says, let's go to the kitchen and keep grinding coffee beans.
I love it.
Travieso, travieso.
Grinding coffee.
Grinding coffee, you know, I guess we've talked about sex, but what about love?
What are you, Tina Turner? What's love got to do with that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times, a lot of these songs are not about love. They're about, you know,
yeah,
doing...
My kids are listening. My kids are listening. Go ahead.
Well, you know, this is not an all Latina home companion.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Another one of the most iconic songs about coffee in Latin culture has to be Moliendo Café, or Grinding Coffee, right?
Correct.
Let's listen. What version should we? There's a million versions of this song. I like Ismael Rivera's version.
Let's do that.
Cuando la tarde languidece, renace en la sombra, y el inquieto los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda, que en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Cuando la tarde languidece, renace en la sombra, y el inquieto los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda, en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Una pena de amor, una tristeza, lleva el San Juan Manuel en su amargura. Pasa el resto de la noche moliendo café. ¡Muele!
it has such a frantic pace to it. I almost associate it with like a Fellini movie.
This song?
Yeah. Just very frantic, and it is very 60s. I mean, it was written by the Venezuelan Hugo Blanco in 1958 when
really?
He was 18. Yeah, and it has a gazillion versions. This is just one of my favorites by Puerto Rico's Ismael Rivera. And the lyrics are extremely sad and melancholy. I mean, they say, when the afternoon languishes, the shadows are reborn. In that quiet, the coffee plantations feel again that sad song of the old coffee mill, which in the lethargy of the night seems to moan. And they talk about a man who is just so heartbroken. He's just grinding coffee through the night.
One of my favorite versions is by Jose Feliciano from the early 60s when he was just getting started. He made an album of boleros recorded in Buenos Aires, as a matter of fact. He recorded this beautiful version of that song.
Cuando la noche tranquila se renace la sombra, y entonces los cafetales comienzan a sentir, se oye una canción de la vieja molienda, y en el letargo de la noche parece gemir una queja de amor, una tristeza, que cantan el Manuel en su amargura, y pasa el resto de la noche moliendo café. Cuando la noche tranquila se renace la sombra, y entonces los cafetales comienzan a sentir, se oye una canción de la vieja molienda, y en el letargo de la noche parece gemir una queja de amor, una tristeza, que canta en el Manuel en su amargura, y pasa el resto de la noche moliendo café.
This was recorded in Buenos Aires?
Yes.
Did bolero singers do a lot of recordings there?
Not really, but he happened to be, this is in the early stages of his career, in RCA Victor, which was very popular in Latin America. He was there performing and they wanted him to record some boleros there. It just happened, it's circumstance.
That's so interesting.
Not necessarily that it was just a center of boleros, it was just the way it worked out. It's one of my favorite albums by him. Of all time. Maybe we'll feature that someday because it's really great record.
Well, since we are in Buenos Aires, I think it's time for a tango. This is El Último Café, or The Last Coffee. Some people consider it to be one of the last great tangos ever written.
Llega tu recuerdo en torbellino, vuelve en el otoño atardecer. Te miro la garúa y mientras miro, gira la cuchara de café, el último café que tus labios con frío pidieron esa vez con la voz de un suspiro.
So to hear that tango staccato.
Right.
That makes tango. It's one of the things that makes tango tango.
Right.
But also the incredibly dramatic vocal interpretation by Catulo de Castillo, son of an anarchist hairdresser and playwright. I just wanted to throw that out there. and the lyrics are just, you know, okay, first let me tell you the lyrics. The lyrics are, I watch the drizzle while I watch the coffee spoon turn. That last coffee that your cold lips requested on that occasion. We are through, you said, in a goodbye of sugar and bitterness. Just like the coffee. It was raining and I offered you the last cup of coffee.
Recuerdo tu desdén, te evoco sin razón, te escucho sin que estés. Lo nuestro terminó, dijiste en un adiós de azúcar y de miel. Lo mismo que el café, que el amor, que el olvido, el vértigo final de un rencor sin porqué. Y así con tu impiedad me vi morir de pie, me vi tu vanidad y entonces comprendí mi soledad sin para qué. Llovía y te ofrecí el último café.
What was that? A cup of bitterness?
And sugar.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
I recently had a conversation with a friend from Venezuela, and he actually, we were just talking about culture and comparing, and we were talking about Caribbean melancholy and Caribbean joy and culture. And, you know, one of his theories was that, you know, in the Caribbean, you are supposed to feel very cheerful. And then when you feel sad or depressed, maybe it's a little harder to express. And I just mentioned to him, yeah, I think like in the River Plate area, there's like an obligatory melancholy. Like if you're not melancholy and sad, you know, what are you on?
What's something wrong with you?
Something is wrong with you.
We want to remind our listeners that you can hear all the songs we played today in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Tell us what your favorite coffee songs are.
And you can hear every song we've ever played on the show on Alt Latino Radio at npr.org/music. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst.
And this has been Alt Latino.
Y entonces comprendí mi soledad sin para qué. Llovía y te ofrecí el último café.